we've been in a series for the last 5 weeks. This is our sixth week, and we're wrapping it up today. It's the last chance that I get to publicly mock my wife. I'm just kidding, sort of. If you've been here, you know that I'm sort of not kidding too. But we've been talking about not just being a full church, but being a full strength church. Not just getting lots of people to come and be a part of this with us, but figuring out what it'll look like for us to be most effective in impacting this community, impacting this island, this nation, and the world for Jesus. And why I talk about mocking my wife is because there's a story that my wife and I were tandem biking in San Francisco, and it was very difficult for me, and it turned out that it was very easy for her because she wasn't pedaling on a tandem bike. So we've just been comparing that to showing up at church and this idea that we jump on the church, which is this tandem bike. We jump into this church. We show up to Northgate. But the more people we add, the more peddlers we need, right? The more people we add, the actually less efficient we become unless we all jump on and start going for it together. And when we do that, then the more we can get, the better. If we're all deciding we're going to pedal, I want thousands to come and do that together. Imagine the impact that we can make on the city and on the island and in this nation and in the globe if thousands and thousands decide to show up and all start pedaling. But if we have few people pedaling and thousands show up and want to be part of church, we become just a overweight church. You know, we're not as efficient as we could be. We're not as able as we could be to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. So we've been talking about being a full-strength church. And if you want to know more about that, you should check out online. We post all of our sermons, and you can check out where we've been up until now. But this week we're wrapping it all up, and as we were thinking about it, I have another biking story. Not too long ago, my son. I don't know if my son's ever going to learn to ride a bike, actually. He's three, so it's not like he should necessarily. There are some capable kids that are doing it at three. He's a little bit behind them, and I think has no intention of ever learning because we got one of those trailer bikes behind. I picture Hardy probably being like 30 years old and me biking and him just cruising behind like, this is awesome. The best. And so we kind of did a little tandem bike ride. We do that once in a while. I'll be yelling back, are you pedaling, Hardy? Come on, please, son. But he's like, Dad, can we go for a bike ride? And he's always wanting to go for a bike ride. He likes to see me sweat. And so this one time, we're like, let's go for it, son. And where does he always want to bike? McDonald's. Actually, he calls it Hot Donald's. Dad, can we bike to Hot Donald's, get a hash brown? He loves 24-hour breakfast at McDonald's. So it's like best thing that could have ever happened in his life. Like hash browns all day? So he's like, this was back in the summer. He's like, Dad, can we go Hot Donald's, get a hash brown? I'm like, sure, jump in the van. He's like, no, bike ride. I'm like, oh, son. So I'm like, okay, we can go do it. Well, I go and look at my bike, and it's been a while. I had to dust off a few cobwebs off that bad boy. And then I pump up the tires, get it all ready, and I'm like, okay, let's go, Hardy. So we go, we head out, we cruise down from our house to McDonald's. There's this hill like this, and then there's this hill like this. And I'm like dead tired by the end. We get there. I'm like, this is going to be the worst thing ever. I don't know about you. I need about like 4 hours after a bike ride to have a meal. And so I'm like, Hardy, you get the hash browns. I need like just water and ice for my head, you know? And so we go into McDonald's, do our thing, have our date, and we come outside, and I get to my bike and grab the bike and start pushing on it. Something feels funny about this bike. Well, while we were inside, it was a hot day, and I freshly pumped my tires. Both of my tires popped while we were inside. Seriously, I didn't even know that happened. I was like, I gave him a good extra pump, but I had no idea. So I go in, the sun apparently shines on my bike tires, and the time that he did take a while to eat that hash brown, but in that time, we come out and they're both burst. I've decided not to fix that yet. It hangs in my garage. But they burst at that point, and Hardy's like, well, Dad, we're still going to ride home, right? I'm like, no, we can't ride home. home, son. My tires are burst. And he's like getting on his seat. He's like, let's go. So I'm walking down the street pushing my bike, him behind on his bike, thinking this is just as good as ever. I don't know what's the problem. But wouldn't it matter how good at biking I was, how strong my quads were, how strong my calves were, how good my form was, wouldn't have mattered how good my pedaling was if I hopped on that bike. We weren't going very far without wrecking something. It wasn't going to be working very well. We were going to be working in very low efficiency no matter what. And so up to this point in this series, we've been talking about ways that you can jump on and start pedaling. That you can jump on and start moving this thing forward and carrying out the mission with us. That we've been talking about what it would look like for you to carry some of this with us. But the reality is that if the church is not, there's certain things about just maintaining the church, about just the health of the church, about just developing the church, the local church that is us right now. There's something about just that we need to be caring for. Otherwise, we hop on this bike and say, I'm ready to pedal, I'm ready to push wherever we're going, but the church just needs some work. The church just needs some maintenance. We need to take care of this church. We need to love this church. We need to look after this church. We need to maintain what we are. So when you jump on and you want to pedal, we get moving. We're all responsible to look after the health of this church and care for this church's just general well-being. We're all meant to maintain it. And so this week, I want to talk about the idea that when we're going to be a full-strength church, if we're going to be a full-strength church, we will all love this church. Amen? Does anyone love this church? I love being a part of this church. I love this church. I love getting to come. I love that today I got to match Pastor Allen and Griffin with our shirts. Hey, look at that. It's happening. You can take photos with us after if you'd like. I love that we can have fun. I love that there's many generations. I love that we have worship with all the lights and the sound. Then we have choir that comes up and sings their part. I love so many aspects of this church. I love that we have a recovery house just down the road that we get to partner with and is helping women. And they show up here to be part of this church. I love that we get to partner with ministries in town. I love that we get a global presence with some of the missionaries that we've gotten to send. I love that we get to baptize people every year. I love this church. And we all need to love this church if we're going to be at full strength. Now, a couple of things that I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we're the only church that's worth loving. Because a lot of churches are worth loving. In fact, I hope that all churches are worth loving. And if me saying, come on, we got to love this church, if your first reaction is, no, I don't love it. Then I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to come up here and say, listen, I need to preach about that. You need to love Northgate. The reality is, without any judgment, without anything, maybe you're just seriously in the wrong church. If you don't love what's going on here, if you don't love what's happening, it's okay to say, Pastor, I actually don't agree with a lot of the things. I don't love some of the stuff that we do. I don't love some of the aspects, some of the ways you preach, or what we see, some of the priorities that we seem to have. I don't love those things. And it would be okay for you to say, I think I might love it at this other church more. Listen, as far as the mission to unbelievers, to people who don't know Jesus yet, we need Christians talking about and celebrating their church. And so if you're in a place where you're like, I don't really love this church, guess what? This church isn't the only church. And in fact, the capital C church says that we're just a part of a much bigger movement. We're just one of the flavors. I'm used to forcing my kids to try to get over their hate of a flavor. I don't want to do that in church too, right? My kids, I'll go home with my kids. My kids, you need to try that. And Hardy, it was hummus yesterday for Hardy. It was a bad scene. I don't want to make the faces he was making. But I'm like, so Hardy, I think you do actually like hummus. You need to try it, okay, son? And Izzy's like eating it with her arms like this. And I'm like, just give it a try, Hardy. He goes, I don't like it, Dad. I'm like, try this hummus already, son. Give him the hummus. He's like, well, anyways, I'm not going to make the faces. It was ugly. Then I'm like, you swallow that hummus. And Izzy's like, can I have the rest, Dad? I don't want to be doing that with church. This isn't like you take Northgate's model and this flavor and you eat it and you'll be happy about it. And then tell your friends. Come. Tell them how great it is. You know, you're coming in gagging and your friends are with, this is an awesome experience being at church. Oh, we don't want that. Oh, we're about Jesus. And so any church that loves Jesus, if they have a different flavor than us and you like that flavor better, go and take part in that flavor so that you'll be in a place where you can celebrate and tell people about and invest in and care for and love. Go do it. That'd be awesome. I'll celebrate that with you. That's okay. And I hope they do the same with us. Because we're all part of one thing. We're just a flavor within that thing. Sometimes we say, well, it's not good character for me to leave the church because I don't like something. Well, right now, I think character is a piece of it, but the mission is a bigger piece of it to me. We say, we need to be in a place where people who don't know church hear from Christians that the church is amazing and a great place to be. If you can't say that about this place, find a place that you can say that about. Love them. We need to love our church. It's gotten a little bit trendy right now to be in a place where we say, I love Jesus, but not the church. I love Jesus, but not religion. I love Jesus, but not... As people have started saying that a little bit more. Biblically, I don't see the precedent for that. Biblically, I see Jesus actually said, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be the head that's on top of the body. The body is the church. Jesus said the church will be his body to this world. That's the reality. That's who Paul teaches us Jesus is going to be. He's going to be the body to the head, or the head to the body, and the body is the church. And then how they saw that in the early church before everything got rolling is they start, what it looked like for them is they started celebrating, reaching people, caring for people. And then once they all decided they loved Jesus, they're like, okay, let's sell our houses and give to each other and then give to the poor. And let's develop this. Let's grow this. Let's talk about it all the time. Let's spend time together always. Let's each discover our talents and our giftings and start to serve each other and recognize that you fit here and you fit there and you don't fit there, but you have a spot here. And let's just do this together. And as we go, this is going to be awesome. And then they started saying, you know what? We shouldn't just have this in one city. Let's do it over there in that city. And let's do it over there in that city. And let's make it happen there, and they develop local churches that are meeting that aren't too far from what we are right now. And so when people say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church, how can you love Jesus more than the apostles that gave their life to Jesus then? And what they were building was this. They were building this. And now I think it's arrogant now to say, well, we don't need that. We're Christians that follow just Jesus. These guys followed Jesus literally in person and then died for him, and this is what they were building. So this is what we're building. This is what we want to be a part of. We want to love the local church. And when we love the local church, just like them, we invest in it. I want to tell you that today, I hope it's an encouraging message. I hope it's inspiring to you. Did I get an amen? Hey, let's add to that one. I hope it's an encouraging message today. Amen. Love it. I hope it's inspiring to you. And part of this is because I'm sharing today about not just something that I think we should be doing, but I'm sharing something today that many of you are doing in incredible ways. I love being a part of this church because I see generosity in amazing ways here. I see hospitality in amazing ways here. I see many, many glimmers of volunteerism, and there's a number of heroes in this church who've decided to commit themselves to this church and be involved as volunteers. And so in lots of ways, I'm telling you some of the things that I'm already seeing, and I'm saying, let's do it all the more. And everything that we say right now, we have to do it all the more because we are having all the more people join this church and be part of it. And so let's do everything better. Let's keep working on that bike. Let's fix things up so that when people who are strong quadded jump on that bike moves and we go somewhere and we can accomplish something and we can see things set into motion. We're not getting anywhere if we don't take care of the bike, if we don't take care of the church. And so I want to suggest that if you love this church, which I think you do, and if you say, I don't love this church, you just plug your ears from now on. That's okay. It's all right. No, I don't do that. But because people, other people think, oh, is that what I do in church? Okay. But anyways, if you love this church, I want to talk about the love that's not a noun, not just a feeling, but a verb. It's action. What do we do if we love this church? How do we behave if we love this church? How do we invest in this church if we love this church? I'm going to hit on a few things that are big pieces, and I'm going to hit on them quick. And other times I'll talk about those in more detail, but I want to talk to you about four T's, I guess. The first way we can invest in this church, if we love this church, is talk about it. I think it'd be interesting for you to think about how many times you've talked about this church in this last week. And then to discover how many times have you talked about it positively. Sometimes it doesn't help the church move forward or grow or become healthy when people say, how's church? Yeah, fine. It's fine. Yeah, it's not bad. It's okay. It's great. It's all right. If people don't know Jesus, they say, what's Jesus like? Yeah, he's great. How's your church? Meh, not that great. What happened then? Is Jesus not the head of that church? Is he the head of other churches? Unbelievers don't get that. We got to start practicing. What does it look like to just share a testimony about our church, celebrate our church? If you need some material, tell them 12 young people between ages of 18 and 22, I think, have decided to pay $7,000 so that they could come and serve at this church this year. That's a pretty thing worth celebrating to people, hey? And not only are they doing it, but they're loving it. And they're changing this church, they're changing this city, and God is changing them. Amen. Amen. That's worth celebrating. That's something you can talk to people about. Here's what's going on at our church. It's happening. You could tell people in the last couple of years, our church has doubled in size. That's worth celebrating. Lots of people think church is dead. It's a dead organization within society. Church doesn't really do anything. We don't need church anymore. It's fine. You can do your Jesus thing. Well, we don't really need church anymore. I think we need church more than we've ever needed church. We need a place that people can come and know that they're safe, that know that they're accepted, know that they're loved, know that they're looked after, know that there's people who can support them and care for them and walk alongside them and help them in their recovery and help them walk through what they're... The church, there's no better time for the church right now. Our culture needs this, and they want to get this and make it and put different labels on it and call it all sorts of different things. But this is what Jesus wanted for the world. This is why it works, because Jesus said, this is how it's going to happen. You gather together, you change the world as you experience my Holy Spirit, walk in my power, and join together, watch the world change around you. We need the church. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church, the fullness of God, when the fullness of God is in the church, we become the fullness of Jesus. We can't say we love Jesus and don't love the church. We can say we love Jesus, we recognize him, and the church doesn't necessarily look like him, but you've got a decision to make at that point. Do you decide, well, I'm going to leave then, or I'm going to sit here and tell everyone that I don't see Jesus here, but I'll still come, but are you not going to convince me that it looks good? Or are you going to be part of making the church look a little bit more like Jesus? Do you look like Jesus when you're at church? Do you look like Jesus when you're here? Are you walking through the groups and say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I heal you? Can I love you? Can I sit with you? Are you lonely? I'd love to sit with you. Love to take you for lunch. I think Jesus would probably be doing that. Sometimes when we feel like the church doesn't look like Jesus, we just mope. I would rather that we say, I think I could probably, and let's try to make one person look like Jesus here at least. I'll do it. You know, maybe someone else will catch the cue and recognize that they've got to do that as well. So I want to suggest that you have an opportunity to invest in this church by talking about it. just by telling people about it. There's three good times. Andy Stanley talks about this. There's three good times to invite someone to come on out to church and to join you out. There's three cues that if you're having a conversation with someone out in the city, that if you hear one of these three things, it's a good time to say, hey, come on out, join me. There's a great community that could love you and care for you and look after you and walk alongside of you. And one of these three things is a good time to say that. One, when someone says to you, things are not going well. Things are not going well. What do we usually say? Whew, tough. Thanks for the groceries, you know? Sorry about that. What if we said, hey, I've got a great place. Why don't you come out with me to church? I'll sit with you. I love our pastor, once in a while, he shares some encouraging words. And since other times, he talks about loving the church so much that you have to invest in it. We'll leave you out on that one. But come back and talk. You know, what does it look like to invite someone out when they say things are not going well? Maybe when someone says, I was not prepared for, fill in the blank. I wasn't prepared for this situation that came in my life. I mean, it happened this way, but I just wasn't prepared for the way it did happen. Hey, I get that. Sometimes life is kind of crazy. Do you know? I know a God and I know a church that can help you walk through some of those things. Do you want to join me at church? Talk about your church. Do you ever talk about your church? And the last one, I am not from here. Are you new to town? Have you found a church? I'm not a Christian. Have you found a church? Come on out. We accept non-Christians. We like them here. If you're not a Christian here, I hope you feel welcome. If you don't, write us a letter and tell us you still love us and we're doing our best to love you. We're trying to love you. We're trying to welcome everyone. Wherever you're at in life, we're trying to just love you and welcome you here. Amazing that we talk about the things we love, don't we? You know, you know that. You know that in your week you chat about the things you love. So do you chat about your church? To chat with people about what's going on here and what's happening here. First one that you can invest is talk. Second one is time. Everyone says, I don't have time. I hear that a lot. Oh, I just don't have time for that. I just don't have time for this. Feels like there's no time, not enough hours in a day. I hear that a lot of times. And yet we always seem to make time for what's important to us. We always seem to make time for that thing that's really valuable to us. I think about that when you start a relationship. I don't know if anyone's in a fresh, new relationship right now. Usually you got bags under your eyes because you're so tired. It's like, oh yeah, of course I'll talk to you on the phone at 2 a.m., no problem. I'm dead tired, but this is great. I can make time for you. You know, we do that, we make time. It's all good. No, yeah, I know I'm just getting off work and it's crazy, but I'm in love. I can't help it. I'll show up to your house. I'll do whatever you need. It's all good. I have to get up at 5 a.m., yeah. But hey, we could go for a nice walk. How about 3 hours? Does that sound good? You know, we make time. You start a new business. Have you heard about what I'm doing? Listen, I'm just going to give myself to it. You put in late hours because you know that it's worth the investment. You know that it's worth you pouring your time into. Do you think your church is worth the investment? Because if so, I wonder if you considered what your calendar looks like, what your schedule looks like. If you were to look at your calendar, would your calendar tell you that you love this church? That you're investing in this church, that you care for it. When we talk about volunteering for something that we think might impact this city, is your response, oh, I gotta figure out how to do that? Or is it, yes, we're gonna impact this city. I'll sign up twice. Fall Carnival, Courtney and Comox, I'll be at both, you know? No problem, I'll be at both. Same time, no big deal, I'll figure it out, you know? Stretch it out. What do we do with that? We say, I don't have time, or I can make time. Because we make time for the things that we love, things that are important to us. Acts 2:46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they got together, every day. Say, yeah, that was a different time. Well, apparently, by what they did, it was a whole lot different. They gave up everything. Say, it's different. They didn't have as much to do. Well, did they also not value life as much because they also got martyred for it? No, I don't think it was just a different time. It was different people inspired by a different movement. But it's the same movement that we get to be part of if we just believe that God's got us here doing that stuff. Do you love the church enough to invest your time? Do you love the church enough to give your talents to it? Sometimes our talents, we put our talents everywhere but the church. We put our talents over here. And so sometimes people will show up to events. I've been a part of church ministry a long time, and so I've seen this. Sometimes people will show up to events like, oh, what kind of decorations did they think they were doing here? Why did they do that? And, so, and I know what that means is, I could have done this better. Well, good, do it. You're part of the church. You know, people show up, oh, that food. Oh, I can't believe they're doing that food again. Oh, and why didn't you set up my chair over here? Because I want my chair over here and you didn't set up my chair over here. Oh, are you a gifted chair setter-upper? Great, we need that gift in the church. You know, we need that gift here. If you're good at setting up chairs good enough that you can tell everyone else where they're done wrong, come on and set up chairs every time. We've always got a spot for that. We're always open. The doors are always open for chair setter-upper people. We love that gift in the church. Actually, it's my favorite gift, one of my favorites. There's a few of my favorite gifts. The other one is the picker-up of garbage of after Sunday person. That's a good gift too. You know, oh, I can't believe how much garbage there is over here. Don't they have anyone to do anything about? Oh, we'll call the church. We'll call the church, which is the people of God that meet together, which is you. if we're so disappointed about how things look, by the way, our janitor does an amazing job here. Come on. Well, if we're so aware of everything that's wrong with what's going on here, then the people who fix it are the church of Jesus Christ, which is you. If you've got the gift to fix it, do it. And the church moves forward. Do you love this church enough to invest your talk, your time, your talent, and your treasure? Your treasure. I know we all know how to give when it matters to us. I don't have any money. I just can't work it out. I don't think it's going to work. Oh, that's a nice dress. Wow. We could take. Or I love that car. That's awesome car. I don't have any money, but I could make the monthly payments, you know? I can't buy it outright, but if you do it this way, or I can get the credit card and pay it on that or do all that. We stretch ourselves for a lot of things financially, and I'm actually not encouraging that type of stretching. In fact, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk just about what contentment and generosity looks like as we enter the Christmas season. I'm not saying figure out how to stretch yourself, go into debt so that you can pay off the church. No, that's definitely not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we can tell what we love when we look at our bank statements. We can tell what our priorities are when we look at where our money went. How much do we love the clothes that we have? How much do we love that? How much do we love that? How much do we love that thing? How much do we love taking care of people? How much do we love looking after those? How much do we love our church? So I'm not saying everyone right now tell us how much. This is between you and God. But if you love this place, would you invest in it with your talk, your time, your talent, and your treasure? Do you know that someone did somewhere along the way? There was a lot of creativity that went into this church. This church is the church as a body. And Northgate, which used to be Courtney Foursquare Church, is 80 years old this year. 80 years old. Somewhere along the way, someone decided, we're going to build a building. I think we're going to hire someone who can reach into this community. I think we're going to pay some salaries. I think we're going to pay some janitorial bills. I think we're going to do some of that. Someone decided that it was worth investing in this along the way, and we get to reap the benefit. 20 years from now, I wonder if they'd say the same thing about us. I wonder if they'll say, I'm so glad the church of those 2010, 2020, 2030, those people, I'm so glad that they decided to invest in this place so that now we have this incredible church to impact this city. I sure hope they say that about us. Because we love this church, don't we? We love this church. We love this church. Not just a noun kind of love, but a verb kind of love that puts us into action. Acts 4, 36 to 37. Worship team, you can come join me. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. You know what? I love crazy generosity. I love crazy generosity. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, so I'm not going to go too into it right now. But I love that type of idea. Say, I don't know everything. I'm not sure where this is all going to land, but let's go for it. Do you know we got to paint the exterior of the church this year? Part of that was because someone decided that when they passed away, they were going to leave some of their estate with this church. Praise God for that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible that someone decided that was important enough to pour into it? Now, we're not in a place of need. Our church is doing well. Like I said, I'm not talking to people who aren't doing something. I'm talking to people who we can all do more. We can all accomplish greater. We have bigger dreams than where we're at right now, which means we have bigger expectation of how we talk about our church, how our time is spent for the church, how our talent is used within the church, and how our treasure is invested into the church. And I'm not saying only into Northgate and don't invest or don't do that. No, we're not in that place. God is actually the one who's going to care for us. But do you love the movement of God in the Comox Valley? And if so, what does that mean for your talk, the way you speak, your time, your talent, and treasure? I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for our church. And we're wrapping up the Full Strength series. And today, I just want you to know, I love this church. I will give my time, my talk, my talent, and my treasure to this church. I want to serve this church, not just for the hours that I'm paid, but for the hours that I'm not. I want to give to this church. I want my kids to want to invest in this church and the work of this church in the Comox Valley. I want the Comox Valley to be impacted. And so I want to pour myself into this because I love it. And I hope you're with me. And I know many of you are. But if you love this church, let's just do that. If you don't love this church, no pressure to love this church. I'm not forcing anyone to love this church. But if you do, I am saying there's some ways that you're able to become involved in bigger capacities. So Lord, thank you for this church. Oh, this church is fun. God, it's good to be in community. It's good to be with people. Thank you for the stories that have come out of this place, for the work that you're doing here. Thank you for the 80 years of faithfulness in the Comox Valley. Thank you for the many who have come out of addiction in this place. Thank you for the many who have recognized Jesus in this place. Lord, thank you for the many who have served hours and hours. Thank you for the many who talk about this place, that share about this place, that share about what the God of Northgate, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that came in the Old Testament, the God that was continuing, the God that came in flesh in Jesus Christ, that God is the God of Northgate. As we celebrate that God, thank you, Lord, that you're bringing people to you. God, we don't just pray for Northgate, we pray for every church in the Comox Valley. I pray that it would be, each church would be packed with people that love that particular flavor of Jesus. We love you, Jesus, first and foremost. But we sure love what you're doing here, uniquely here. So we love what you're up to. We love what you're doing. We commit ourselves to invest in it. Help us, Lord. Help us have good hearts towards you, to love you more, to love this church, and to just believe for the incredible things that you're about to do, because we've already seen some. Jesus, 500 people is not what we're looking for. We're looking for thousands of people. Our eyes are on 70,000 as this city is growing. Our eyes are on many, many more who are going to be reached and loved in Jesus' name, and takes investment from us. We get it, God. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody who believes it says, amen, amen. Why don't we stand up? These guys are going to sing us out of here. You have a great week this week. We love you. We love you. We love Jesus. We love this church. Have a good week. See you next time.